Okay, I think I got everything running now. Again, good morning to you. Sorry about all the trouble I'm having. I don't usually have to do everything, but I do today. I hope you got a copy of your newsletter. Please note the thoughts from the pastor who gave himself from Titus 2, chapter 2, verses 3 through 14. Some of my favorite scripture right there. I just love that scripture. And I enjoyed writing about it. Also, quotes of truth by Brother Bonner of old. And happy birthday, Brother Frank, today, Frank Regal. And happy anniversary, Ronnie Sarah Henderson, on November the 19th. I believe that's Saturday, if I did, but yeah. And that is Saturday. So happy birthday, happy anniversary. Happy everything else. If you'll turn your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 16. I do want to say that I've been gone quite a bit from the pulpit, and I don't like leaving the pulpit. In fact, I was gone last Sunday. And so I got a hold of Brother Newell, and we're going to go Friday down to Silsby. On the, I believe it's the 18th, 17th, 18th, somewhere in there, of December. And we're going to be there Friday. I'm preaching Saturday, so we're coming back Saturday night so we can be here for church on Sunday. So that'll avoid any more. And that's all I have for the year that I know of. And that's the last, close to the end of the year. I don't think there'll be anything else. But you never know. My thinking is, a pastor belongs in his pulpit on Sunday. That's my thinking. I know a lot of preachers do a lot of Bible conferences, a lot of revivals. Brother Hammond used to do some sometimes, but a lot of times he wouldn't go because he said he didn't have anybody take his place. But anyway, he didn't go. So I think it's just that he felt a responsibility to be at home on Sunday, and that's what I feel too. So I don't like being away, and no more than I have to. I've been away a lot lately, so I'm going to be here that Sunday, okay? And turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Let me get mine turned over. I forgot Justin was going to be off today. He told me, never tell me a month away what you're going to do. I can't even remember from week to week. But anyway, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus here is speaking to Simon, Barjona. In verse 17, Jesus answered, said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for the flesh hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, what was the question? Well, the question was, Jesus asked who he was. And he told him, he said, you're Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's the reason Peter said, Jesus told Simon Barjona that, said, yeah, flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you, but my Father's revealed it to you. And we go down to verse 18, get to our text, and he says, he goes on to say, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loosen on the earth shall be loosened on the heaven, in heaven. Now, Jesus is not talking to Simon here. The church was not built upon Peter. Peter was a small pebble, and Jesus lets us know by the Greek words that Peter was a small pebble, and the church is a massive rock, and therefore a superstructure, you might say. So therefore, Jesus was talking about the church here, and he was telling him, upon this rock, upon me, he's saying, upon this rock. Not that rock, but this rock. Jesus talking about himself. I will build my church. I will build it a superstructure. not a massive assembly, but many assemblies, which is a massive church. And he says, unto the church I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and unto the church whatever thou shalt bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loosen on the earth shall be loosened in the heavens. And then he charged his disciples, verse 20, that they should tell no man that he was Jesus Christ. Now we won't look at a mini-series here, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I don't know. I'm building the message still. And I got a long introduction, so we might not get much further than that. I'm in no hurry because this is important stuff. And the reason it's important is I'm going to talk a lot about the churches. I'm going to talk a lot about the Lord's churches. I'm not going to go back to the start of the church. I'm not going to go back to the definition of the church. I'm going to talk about some of the inner workings of the church. I'm going to talk about things that we as church members need to be reminded. And let's be reminded of this to start with, okay? This is the Lord's church. It belongs to the Lord our God. Jesus Christ is the founder. Jesus Christ is also the foundation which this church is built upon. This church and churches like ours are a pillar of ground truth. We stand upon the truth no matter what. We trust God no matter what. No matter what becomes of the church, if it fizzles down to 3, 4, 5 members, and eventually we have to disband and give everything to missions, that's the way the Lord wants it. We are what we are by the grace of God in every aspect of our lives, as individuals, as church members, as churches. We are what God has made us. So therefore, we're not ashamed of what God has done, are we? So the Lord tells Peter here in verse 18, "Thou say unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now let's get into our introduction. Jesus said the church is his. He said, "I will build my church." What he meant was, I will build my church into a superstructure. Not one individual church, but many churches into a church, so to speak. And Jesus promised that even Satan cannot shut it down. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates here means, I believe, means authority and powers of hell will not prevail against the church. Keep that in mind, beloved. Keep that in your heart. Keep that always in your thoughts when thinking about the church. That all the powers of Satan, all the powers of the Antichrist, all the powers of the false prophet, all the powers of the great dragon himself cannot prevail against the church. Amen. Satan had never tore apart a church. People talk about Satan tore a church apart. Satan can't do anything God doesn't allow him to do. If God allowed Satan, Velma, would you cut your phone off? Velma, your phone. Satan cannot damage the Lord's church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against any church. Amen. Hell is a place of Satan. It's a place of his angels and all the lost that died without Jesus Christ in their heart. Without trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior, is in hell. It has great powers, doesn't it? Satan has the entire population of the world blinded. So much so that only God can cause them to have light. Only God can cause them to see. Only God can close the church's doors. And only God has many reasons for doing whatever happens to churches. Sometimes churches bring it upon themselves. As churches, we must be careful. We must keep ourselves groomed in the Word of God. We must keep ourselves as churches as a pillar and ground of truth. Let me re-say that. We must keep ourselves as pillars and ground of truth. If I get ahead of myself and say this again on my notes, go to Revelations 2. Forgive me if I do that. As churches run their course over time and serve their purpose that God ordained for them, it may come a time when the Lord is done with that work. God has control over all his works. And therefore, whatever happens is in God's hands. Or maybe the church fell away from the truth. Maybe they have run their course. And part of their shutting down is falling away from the truth. Jesus removes the candlestick if they do. Well, always remember this, church. Jesus warned us in Revelation 2, speaking to the church at Ephesus. There's seven churches mentioned, this church at Ephesus. He says in verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." God's not happy when we leave our first love. In our personal lives or as churches. The Lord's not happy when we leave our first love. What's our first love? Jesus is our first love, isn't it? God is our first love, isn't he? The truth of God's word is our first love, isn't it? And when people leave the truth, when churches refuse to keep being a pillar and ground of truth, Jesus Christ will walk through that door metaphorically, blow out the candle that's lit, and walk out the door with the candlestick. Lord said, "I'm against thee because thou hast left thy first love." Verse 5, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the work, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of the place, except thou repent." What does that remind you of? Does it remind you of anything? It does me. Expulsion, doesn't it? People hate expulsion. People take expulsion like it's a damnable thing. It's not. Expulsion is a discipline. Expulsion is a discipline of a church toward a member to cause that member to repent and get right with the church and get right with the Lord. Right? And once that member apologizes after straightening up their problem, then they're accepted back in the church after they ask for forgiveness. Isn't that just what Jesus told the churches to do? If you fall away, Jesus is going to come and take that candlestick unless you repent and return. And if you don't, Jesus is going to remove the candlestick until you do repent and return as a church. But you know what the problem with expulsion is? People get mad. People get angry. You know, a daddy will take a belt and scourge his children. A mother will do the same. Schools used to do that. They're not allowed to do it anymore. We live in such a socialist world that they're not allowed to do that anymore. But they used to. I can't count the number of paddles I got, nor can I count how many times they beat my rear end. Sometimes I made them so mad they didn't stop at 3. They didn't even stop at 5. It hurt so I quit counting. My daddy used to rip his belt off, and when he got done with me, I was in pain. My mama used to go out to a switch tree, rip off a limb off the tree. Now, I'm not talking about big limbs, I'm talking about switch. And she wouldn't even take the leaves off of it. And she sat there and pop that thing, and pop that thing, and pop that thing. And she made you feel it. God disciplines us, doesn't he? He chastens us, doesn't he? He chastises us, doesn't he? God doesn't accept members being out of line. So if you're excluded, or you got family that's excluded, or something's gone wrong and somebody's been excluded, a friend or something, don't get mad at the church. Don't get mad at the pastor. Don't get mad at the church and the pastor or the other members. Church does this. Now, who's the power and authority? By God's power and authority. The same reason that Jesus will come in and remove the candlestick. How would you like to have your candlestick removed out of your church? Excluded members are still church members. They're not active church members. They're not allowed to vote. They're not allowed to observe the Lord's Supper. They're not allowed to do anything in church, but they're still church members. When Jesus removed the candlestick out of a church, they're no longer a church. You ever see the difference? Jesus said, except thou repent. That's the discipline, isn't it? But here they are, people get excluded, and they don't want to repent. It's an embarrassment to them. Well, church excluded me. I've had people tell me, I would never go to a church that excludes people. Then you'll never go to a church. You may go to a place that calls themselves a church, but you'll never go to a real church. Because any church that doesn't execute the discipline of expulsion to its members, who our church here has a rule, if you're not here for 3 months, you're going to be excluded. If you're going out there and doing things you shouldn't do, commit adultery, a drunkard, I'm not talking about a one-time sin thing, I'm talking about doing it all the time. Beating your wife, beating your husband, hurting your children, taking drugs, and you won't stop, we're going to exclude you. It's like a church. If a church fails to do what they're supposed to do, if they fail to stand up on the truth, they may go on having services, but they're not going to be a church. Nothing is more important on this earth than the Lord's churches and the truth they believe. Amen. People treat church like it's nothing. It is something. And I'm not going to run around and beg my members to come to church. If you don't come, I will have you excluded. If my members run around and commit adultery, if they run around getting drunk all the time, if they run around beating their children, beating their families, and hurting people, I'm going to have them excluded. Church is not a earthly organization that makes their own rules. We run under the auspice of the Lord Jesus Christ as the head of the church.
Amen.
If we're not doing our job as a church, we will be excluded. Verse 73. So there's no more important organization on the earth than the Lord's church. And there's no more important thing than for church to believe the truth. But not just to believe the truth, but to live under the truth. And allow the truth to control the church. The church is a pillar and ground of truth. Think about that. Let that soak in. I know I've said a lot here lately. It's truth. The church is a pillar and ground of truth. Read 1 Timothy 3:15. Lord, Paul writes here to young Timothy, or Timothy, I don't know how young he was. He says, but if I tell you long, that thou may knowest how thou ought to save thyself, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Every single solitary member ought to know how to behave themselves in the house of God. And if you lack in this area, if you don't understand something, if you don't get it, if I say something you don't understand, I've got a cell phone. Okay? I live right behind the church building. Right now I'm home all the time. All you got to do is call me. Say, Pastor, we need to talk. I'm confused. I don't understand. You hurt my feelings. You don't just run off like a coward. You don't just leave your church. Abandon the Lord's churches. That's not how it's handled. But if people don't know how to behave themselves in the house of God, shame on them. Now, one is that in the church building? No. That's in the church, isn't it? That one is the church. Church is not just meeting on Sundays and Wednesdays. You are part of the church. You understand what I'm saying? The church is a body. A body don't just disperse and go home and do what it wants. My body doesn't leave. The parts doesn't leave. God help me if it did. I might be just a torso laying over there trying to figure out how I'm going to get the food in my mouth. You understand? The Lord likened the church to like a body for a reason. And he said it has members. And he said he sets those members in the body as it pleased him. So all the days of our life, we're members of the church. We're parts of the church all the time. And a hand ought to know how to behave itself as part of the church, as being a member of the church. A leg, a foot, a finger, a tongue, an ear. Whatever part you consider yourself. And we don't really consider ourselves bodily parts, do we? But that's basically what we're likened to. As members of the church, we have to know how to behave ourselves. If you don't like being part of the body, let me know you want to leave and leave. I'm not going to chase anybody out the door trying to get them to stay. We had a visitor Wednesday night. Larry and I was talking to him. And he said, well, I'm non-denominational. I'm a preacher. I'm non-denominational. Okay, well, it's good to meet you. What are y'all? Apparently the man didn't read the sign before he come in. What's it say? Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptist Church, right? To ask me what we are is ridiculous because we're a Baptist church. Right? I'm not making fun of him. I'm just saying, why would you ask me what we are? We're Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptist. I don't even like the name. It's too long. It used to be Tabernacle Baptist. Whoa, I would love that name. But it changed in the old days by the older members, and that's fine. To recognize what we are. It says in the books that Frank has that they changed the name to recognize what we are. So we are Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptist Church. And then he starts, well, y'all believe in that limited stuff, do you? Yeah, you mean limited Tony? Sure, we sure do. We are a Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptist Church. Yes. He's not back, is he? And that's okay. I'm not going to go begging to come back. I'm not going to go beg the excluded members to come back. I'm not going to beg anybody at least to come back. It's not my job. Every single member should know how to behave themselves in the Lord's church as being a member, as being a part of it. It must remain the church. It must remain a shining light upon a hill. And you know what we do? Every time we're not the pillar and ground of every truth. That's not the truth that Brother Wilson in Oakdale might believe. That's not the truth that Brother Kelly Henson in Fort Worth, or Brother Nelson in Fort Worth, or Brother Hilly, or Brother Newell, or Brother anybody else believes. That's the truth that we believe as a church. We're an independent Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptist Church, which means we're not under the auspices of any other organization. We're not ABA, we're not SBC, we're not any of those 5,599.34 names out there. We are an independent, sovereign body of baptized believers assembled together with the purpose of being a truth and pillar of God's, a pillar and ground of God's truth. And we must remain a light on a shining hill. The truth must remain the pillar and ground of truth. Now, if we let some of the light go out, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lights in here. 10, 11 lights in here total. Yeah, I didn't want to be wrong. Somebody said, Brother Ray, you know you miscounted them lights. I know. Forgive me, I'm not very smart. Now, what happens if this light goes out? It dims, doesn't it? What happens if this light goes out? It's darker, isn't it? I turn these two lights off. Oh, I forgot this one. I turn these two lights on. It gets darker, doesn't it? Why don't we just turn them all off? It gets dark in here, doesn't it? That's what happens when we start allowing a truth to slide. Another truth to slide. So someone tells me, well, you shouldn't preach that way. Oh, here's some bills. No, it ain't bills. This is the Bible. This is God's Word. I'm the pastor of church. Yeah, I'm glad that's built. I preach the Word of God. Don't ever tell me I can't preach the Word of God. If you do, you will need a pastor. quicker than you believe you will. And you would never do that. But I have been told to lighten up. I'm not going to say who, but I have been told I'm too bold. It's a sensitive subject. I don't care if it's a sensitive subject. People are going to go to hell if they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care how sensitive it is. God saves sinners. Only God saves sinners. I don't care how sensitive it is. Murder, abortion is murder. It's murder. I don't care how sensitive it is. Homosexuality is a sin. I don't care how sensitive it is. I don't care how sensitive it is. My job is to preach the word. The truth. The scriptures hurt. Don't they? Have you ever been hurt by the scriptures? Sure you have. Something you do, you found out you were doing it wrong. Something you believed, you found out you were believing it wrong. Now, you might just come around and say, oh boy, there's the truth. I wasn't that way when I first heard about the sovereignty of God. I looked at Brother Hammond and I said, what are you talking about? You're going to have to explain this to me a little bit more. And he did. The church is the Lord's. And it's a shining light upon a hill. And it has to remain the pillar and ground of truth. So if the church becomes loose, if the church becomes lax, then the truth will fade. The truth is what keeps us bright. Jesus is what keeps us bright. God and the truth, His truth, is what keeps us bright. It's not us, not our brilliance. It's not that we're so good, we're bright. We're as dim as they come. You know, besides the grace of God, we're as dumb scripturally as dumb comes. That's the reason Paul, one of the great men of the Bible, one of the great characters of the Bible, says, hey, I am what I am by the grace of God. Jesus will remove the candlestick if we become too dim. The light's flickering if we don't do our job as church members. Some of our church members called our attention to some of the songs we were singing. You're not going to hurt my feelings by telling me you disagree with something. Because the last thing I want to do as your pastor is to teach something that's hurting your feelings. The last thing I want to do is sing a song in this church that's hurting your feelings. We are a pillar and ground of truth. Truth. Not some truth, not partial truth, but the truth. One of the songs, I'll bring it out, it's been brought up to me again. Why don't we sing this song? The Old Rugged Cross. Now people probably on Facebook are going to say, what's wrong with the Old Rugged Cross? At what point does the Old Rugged Cross, and I didn't realize this, so it brought to my attention, at what point does the Old Rugged Cross praise Jesus? It doesn't. It praises the cross. How can you praise the cross? The cross is a place where condemned people go. And yes, Jesus was condemned for my sins and for your sins. You see what I'm talking about? Now, while churches sing the song, I go to some of their churches, they sing the song. That's not my problem. If they sing the song, that's their church doing it. Not me. I'm not going to tell them, well, I'm not coming to your church because you sing the old Red Cross. I wouldn't have that song in our church. Well, I did. I've led it many times. It's just like one of them we sang this morning. Talking about what Jesus pleaded for the sinners. Jesus didn't plead. I can't believe it. It's not even in the book. He doesn't plead for the sinners. So I change it to dying. Jesus doesn't plead for sinners, does he? Does Jesus ever plead? I'm sorry. Show me in this book one time where Jesus pleaded with anybody. We have to be careful. So that's the reason when I was singing, leading the song this morning, and Facebook people don't know I had to lead singing. That's the reason we don't have the song service anymore. I can't lead singing because I can't sing. I changed it to dying. I had to sing up where everybody could hear me, so I changed it to dying. It's about a church being the Lord's church. There's no options to the Lord's church. We do as we're led by the grace of God and the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the church. If you ever get tired of me as pastor, you know why you're tired of me as pastor? And you may already be. I may not get to preach another message, but I'm going to say it. If you're tired of me as pastor, it's the reason the Lord put it on your heart to be tired of me. It's time for a change. Just tell me. Will it hurt? Sure it will hurt. You hate to leave somebody you love, but sometimes it comes to that point. You see what I'm talking about? The Lord puts it on our hearts to do things. If you feel we need to change somewhere in the church, we need to talk about it. I can't play the piano. If I tried to play the piano, maybe y'all would tell me, say, Pastor, you know, it's really not you playing the piano. And, you know, it's really not a thing you need to be doing. Just don't ever tell me what to preach. And we're good. And you wouldn't. I'm not saying that. y'all know more about this than I do. So let me finish up this introduction if I can. I don't know if I can. Let me go ahead and just finish it up. I'll read it. I got about 5 minutes. So, the church is filling ground of truth. We can't become lax. We can't fag, because if we do, Jesus is going to blow out the candlelight, the candle, and remove the candlestick. He promised he would, didn't he? No matter who we please or displease, it's all about God's truth. And God's truths are not somewhat needed, not somewhat essential. They are essential. We are the pure ground of truth, right? We're not a partial pillar and a partial truth with a very dim light. We're pillar and ground of truth. So God's truths are essential both for our teaching and for our learning. It don't matter what we think about it. It don't matter what Rebecca thinks about it, what Larry thinks about it, what Alice thinks about it, or Brother Medic thinks about it, or Brother Ronnie Sharon thinks about it. It's the truth. And the truth is essential. Oh, that hurt. My shoulder is awful, folks. I think they're going to have to do another MRI. Anyway, my shoulder's later. Let's get to our last paragraph, or next to last. It is the church that has been given the authority. Our next scripture is going to be 1 Corinthians 14. The church has been given the authority. The church has been given the authority by Jesus Christ himself, who had all power and all authority, and gave it to the Lord's church to carry the gospel to the world. It is the church that has authority to baptize newborn believers and to be held up by the power of Jesus and to hold up Jesus as the head of the church and to obey the head of the truth in what we do and go by his power and authority. You know, people's given, I don't know how to put this, I'm not as smart as some people, but people's given authority. And it's not blank authority. Military is good about this. They give you an order, and you follow that order, whatever it is. Now, the Lord gives us orders, doesn't he? And we're to follow them orders as a church. Not just anybody can baptize. We are the baptizers. Jesus Christ, the head of the church. The word of God has been placed in the church's hands. Our hands. Oakdale's hands. Tulsa's hands. Footwork. Silsby. Florida, churches in Florida, other places, all over the world. In the Philippines, in Thailand, in Russia. Everywhere there's churches that the word of God has been placed in their hands to take it to the world. Present it to the world. Not just the gospel, but the truth of the word of God. Missionaries are not just there to preach the gospel. Missionaries are there to create churches under the auspice of the home church they're out of, with the word of God and the truth of God's word. I hate allergies. I'm losing my place here. And the truths are not to be ignored by the churches, not to be made light of, but to make sure that God's truth is always the beam of light to a satanic controlled world. And if they don't like it, that's their problem. I don't care. But people, when I say I don't care if the world likes it. I can't worry about what the world likes or don't like. People that come and visit, they don't come back. I can't help that. I wish they would. But they don't. It is the local churches that has been placed, not only authorized, but also empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what? To work till Jesus comes. To work till Jesus comes. We never give up. We never stop. We never surrender. It is the Jesus churches. And they are kept by his power. And no matter how much people may revile us or hate us, the world reviled and hated him more. So if you think I preach too strong, you think I preach on sensitive subjects, well, here's your book where I call them gays or homosexuals. God calls them sodomites. Where I call them druggies, God calls them sinners. Where I call them adulterers, God calls them sinners. It's awful to be called a sinner. As pastor, go to 1 Corinthians 14, I'll end real quick. As pastor, it's my job to make sure everything is done decently in order. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:40, when the Lord said, "Let all things be done decently and in order." It means all things are to be done in an appropriate, scriptural, righteous manner. As we worship God and be part of the Lord's churches. If I, as a pastor, fails, then the church will fail. To rightly serve God, we must make sure that you and you make sure I am keeping things in decent and in order. If we will fail to properly glorify our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the church's head, then you as a church and I as pastor have failed. I'm not here to please Rebecca. I told Rebecca when she married me, she was marrying a Baptist preacher. I said, "I'm a very strong Baptist preacher." I said, "You'll find out." She said, "That's okay." When you come to join this church, any of you that have come since I've been here, you come to join the church, to be a part of us. Not to change or control the church, but to join the church. It's here. The doctrinal truths that were part of this church when I became pastor almost 19 years ago are still the doctrinal truths of this church. I've not changed anything. And I would never, because the church would never let me. Nor would I ever try. That's got our introduction. Next week, next Sunday morning, we'll get into our first point. And I have this almost completed. And as soon as I complete this outline, I'll put it online. We're going to start next week with the services of the church and get into the services of the church. Okay. I'll get them there. So if you will, I'll stand. And we're going to sing...